This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And good morning from the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, along with Charlie
good
today.
Good morning.
Good morning. And here we are on Remembrance Day.
Yes.
And we're just remarking moments ago before we got the air, I'm looking out the window here at a beautiful sunny day.
Beautiful, crispy, cold sunny day.
Yes, indeed. But it was, in my mind, slightly incongruous. I always, in my mind, think that every Remembrance Day is the same. Mm. It's cloudy, it's cold, it's rainy.
Yeah, that sort of misty,
wet. And sort of a reminder of what it must have been like as far as the wetness and the cold for those poor guys and gals in uniform in the trenches, you know, many, many years ago.
Well, guys, but, I guess, in the trenches.
Yeah, but that's true.
Many, many years ago.
Yep. But here we are, a beautiful day, and there are going to be a lot of wonderful ceremonies today, and I hope that everyone takes part in as best we can.
Mm-hmm. And later in the show, maybe I'll share the story about the Vimy oak trees.
Oh, yeah. Right? I look forward to that.
You might have heard something about. Better give the numbers,
then
maybe we'll get some calls, and we can talk gardening.
Absolutely. Okay. if you are in the Toronto area, here's the number to call and to reach Charlie. 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, of course, toll free. 1-866-740-4740. Call early, call often. One question per call. And by the way, if you are a first-time caller, let Sebastian know. And this is what you'll hear when you get to the airways. Yeah, get your garden wings.
Huh? That's right. Okay. And, of course, you did a mad dash to get that bell.
Almost out of breath from that little run down the hall.
You came back in without sweating too hard, so that's a good thing.
All righty.
Speaking of sweating too hard, you know what? This last week, seeing the weather that was coming and, we're right down to the wire in the garden, right? Mm-hmm. You should have seen me. I was so focused all day Wednesday and Thursday up until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. I was nonstop outside, emptying composters, filling composters, mowing lawns, mowing leaves, leaves everywhere, fertilizing the lawn, planting garlic. I mean, I was cutting down roses. I was just nonstop. You would have been so impressed.
Beehive of activity.
I was truly sweating. Despite how cold it was, I had to wear a hat because my head was cold, but my body was dripping. So, yes, indeed, it was a fun couple of days, but it's done. The garden is put to bed. So
there
I'm a happy person.
Good on you.
One quick announcement. This Monday, November 13th at 8 o'clock in the evening, in the Knox United Christian Education Center at 2575 Midland at Shepherd in Toronto, the Agent Court Garden Club will be meeting. The guest speaker is Jillian Taylor on the subject of succulents. Mm-hmm. Very trendy plants these days, succulents. Plan to socialize and laugh with all the other novice, regular, and or expert, very friendly gardeners. Coffee, tea, desserts for a small donation of pocket change. So that's this Monday, and then a week tomorrow, on the 19th of November, the Toronto Rhododendron Society is hosting their annual general meeting from 12 noon to 4 p.m. at the Toronto Botanical Garden, 777 Lawrence Avenue East at Leslie. Two lectures by Betty Ann Addison. She's from Minneapolis. Number one, she's speaking about hybridizing hardy rhododendrons. And number two, woodland companions for rhododendrons. Betty Ann Addison is a member of the American, Rhododendron Society. She's Arguably, she gardens in a more challenging climate than even ours when it comes to growing rhododendrons. Summers are hotter there, winters are colder, and there is that risk of tornadoes and all kinds of, you know, hurricane force winds. So Betty
Ann is drawing from her expertise.
She's quite the expert, and she's been brought up to Toronto special, or will be coming up special for this Rhododendron Society meeting. So if you're all interested in rhodos, azaleas, definitely plan to attend that lecture week tomorrow at the TBG.
All righty. Thank you, Charlie. And we're going to take a little bit of a break here. And I see the calling is
speaking of rhododendrons, look, there's somebody on the phone wants to ask.
Well, all right. We'll get to all of those calls in moments here on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And here we are to the phone lines now, Charlie.
But we were just talking about how cold we both ended up being on Thursday.
Holy
cow. But I think we all really felt that. And I think it's because of the drama. Our bodies didn't slowly get used to the cold.
Yeah.
We just went from
plunged right into it to
below zero.
Well, I was telling Charlie, I have never experienced a cold in my hands like that. It took almost a half an hour for my hands to warm up, and I was almost whining.
Crying.
As I was trying. Yeah.
And when was that? Like Friday morning?
Friday morning.
Yeah.
And stupidly, but I had to, at least in the laneway on the farm there, I was driving down the road with my knees because I had both hands underneath my armpits trying to warm them up. Oh, what a snowflake I am. Anyway, let's get to the calls here.
Right.
There's Sally in Hamilton. Good morning and welcome to the show, Sally.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. I have one quick question about hydrangea. We have a couple of them, and they've got beautiful, beautiful blooms.
Mm-hmm.
Can we leave them on all winter, or should we cut them off?
Oh, I always leave them on for the winter for just, what, like you said, beautiful blooms.
Right.
Because they just turn toasty and bronze-like, but they hang on all winter.
Yes. And well, that's great. And in the springtime, we cut.
Well, these are round blooms
or conical ones?
Okay, so the round ones, in the spring, you'll wait until the weather has started to warm up and the ground has started to thaw, and you'll go out and look, and you will see green buds on the stems beneath where the flowers are at the tips, and you'll cut back the shrubs. Depending on how big they are and, you know, how big they were last year, I tend to take the whole shrub back to maybe 8 or 9 or 10 inches tall to those buds, because you will see where the life is in the stems and you're cutting off all the rest.
Right. Well, that's great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And have a great day.
Thank you.
Same to you. Thank you for joining us here on Zoomer Radio. Hey, first time caller. Reaching for the bell is Franklin. There we are. Oops. That's for Mitzi right here in Toronto.
Welcome.
Hi, Mitzi.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, Charlie.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call, and I love your show.
Thank you.
I have one question about my rhododendron bush.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very old bush. It's at least 25 years old, and it's about 6 feet across and about 5 feet high, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
It's been beautiful for so many years, always loaded with blooms. But because of the warm weather recently, I think it's confused and it's loaded with buds.
Oh, it should be loaded with buds now. They always do set their buds in the fall.
All right. My question was going to be, what can I expect to happen in the spring? Will it be blooming again?
Oh, yeah, it should. It's every year it will have set its buds in the fall. What happened, though, you're right, we had that super warm weather in October, I think it was. Yeah, after it was a bit chilly in September, then it got really hot in October. And some of the buds on the rhododendrons and the magnolias started to crack open a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to see a little bit of color.
That's what was happening in mine. And they're bigger. Their buds are bigger than usual.
Right. So they started to swell and they started to think it's spring. Now, of course, it's gotten super cold. So everything's, you know, come to a dead halt in terms of moving forward. So hopefully you will not lose any of those buds. They won't get frosted off. They will be. They didn't mature enough that they'll get lost this winter, and that you'll still have that beautiful show next spring. If some of the buds don't survive the winter because they just moved, you know, into maturity too far and then freeze off this winter, you'll have fewer blooms next spring. But it should not affect the ultimate health of the plant.
Oh, that's good news.
Okay.
I really appreciate your call. And,
my pleasure.
And
thanks.
And have a wonderful Remembrance Day.
Thank you
very much, Mitzi.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Have a wonderful weekend. And thanks for joining us here on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, and, of course, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto. Now, in Tilsonburg, a gentleman by the name Warner is hanging on the line there. Be patient, Warner. We're coming right back to talk to you and find out what's going on in what used to be a tobacco country.
That's right.
What's happening now? We'll find out in moments.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Now, just before we check in with Warner out there in Tilsonburg, let me get the phone numbers on the air. We do have one line open right now, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And Warner, you're welcome. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
I have an aloe vera plant.
Mm-hmm.
I had it outside all summer. It's nice. It's big.
Good.
Now, if I want to go away for 3 months, I brought it inside already.
Mm-hmm.
How do I care for it?
Well, you chose a very good plant to have if you are going away for 3 months, because it's very likely to survive while you're gone.
Okay.
They're great that way. They can go for very, very long periods without any care whatsoever.
Should I give them a little water before I go?
I would definitely give it a little water. Before you go, you turn your thermostat probably down so that your home
50?
Is... Pardon?
50 Fahrenheit.
Yep. So down, 10 Celsius. So that's good because, of course, any plant that's held at a temperature like that, 50 or 10, is going to use less water because it's going to slow down because the temperature's cooler. I would probably leave it. I wouldn't, darken the room and close the drapes up tight and leave it in the dark. I would leave it in a bright spot, whether you will have some, shears closed or, blinds partially closed, that's fine. But I would definitely don't leave it in pitch black, and give it a thorough watering before you go so that it's well watered, not sitting in water, but the pot and the soil has been thoroughly saturated and drained off. And then you're just leave it alone. You'll come back in 3 months and it'll be happy to see you.
It's got two kids. It's got two offspring.
Oh, sweet. Little pups, we call those. Yep.
Yeah.
So next year, if you want, in the spring, you can unpot the whole mess and sever the little babies off of the mother and pot them up separately and then put mom back into the main pot if you wish. Or you can start just having the little clump thing going on.
Okay.
All right.
Before you go away, Warner, can you maybe settle it? Well, Charlie and I both were talking about
Tilsonburg. I feel like
Tilsonburg.
I just read an article. What's
what
the
happened?
Main crop in Tilsonburg these
used
days?
Yeah, used to be tobacco. But
No, it's all changed.
Yeah.
It's a lot of corn. I've only been here. I used to be in Whitby. I've only been here for a while, and there's farming going on.
Yeah.
There's some crops there. I don't even know what they are. I'm tempted to stop and find out.
Yeah.
I feel like, is it grapes? Are you seeing grapes?
I heard peanuts a long while ago.
Peanuts is what went in after the tobacco, because not everything would grow in the soil after the tobacco had grown there. Peanuts would grow there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, peanuts helped get the soil back into condition, mm-hmm. so there was more choices of crops.
Well, you think something else?
I feel like I just read some article about Tilsonburg.
Maybe we'll put the word out to get back to us, anybody in the Tilsonburg area.
I guess we could do some research.
Well, thanks so much, Warner. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you got
Thank
it.
Thank you very much.
Have a great winter going away for 3 months. I'm totally jealous.
And here I go, reaching for the bell again.
Oh, good. You're getting some exercise.
Just a minute now. I'm just trying to read that.
Marianne.
Marianne. Yeah, I couldn't read my own writing. That's what it was. Oh, dear. Hi, Marianne.
Hi. Hi, Charlie.
Good
Thank
morning.
You for taking my call.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I love your show.
And you have your garden wings now, so what's going on?
Okay, so I have a rose bush which was about 30 years old and which was destroyed when a fence was being put up.
Mm.
But there was one stem that my husband found and he placed it in a pail with water. And it's been sitting in the water for 2 months and it started rooting.
Mm.
So would that actually grow?
Depends what kind of rose it is. I mean, roses will always grow roots. And obviously now you have a rose plant because you've got roots and you've got a cane or stems and leaves. So there's your plant. The issue is that some roses, depending on what the variety is, do not grow roots that are super vigorous or hardy enough to withstand our extreme winter temperatures, which is why many roses are budded or grafted onto a different rose set of roots. So that's what it all comes down to. So some roses are super tough and hardy and they can grow really vigorous roots and they grow on their own roots without any issue. Other roses are not that way and are actually budded or grafted onto a separate set of roots. So it's always worth a try, Marianne. I would certainly get that into the ground before the ground freezes.
I was going to plant it indoors and then in the springtime move it outside. I wouldn't plant it outside right now. It's just too cold.
Has it been inside in the water all this time?
It's been inside. It's been outside for about a month and inside for about a month.
So you may...
It's 30 years old and it's very sentimental.
I get it. No, I understand. Yeah. No, I understand. We think that sometimes we help because we're worried the rose is going to get cold outside. The issue, though, is that it is an outdoor plant. Mm-hmm. And it does want to grow in the summer and sleep in the winter. Mm-hmm. So by bringing it in for the winter, it won't go to sleep. It'll be responding to your furnace temperatures and your, you know, the sunshine, etc. Mm-hmm. So do get it into some potting soil, into a pot. And do your best to give it as much light as you possibly can. Only water as necessary. Do not fertilize or anything like that. Just let it be a green plant if it is for the winter. Starting in February, start fertilizing once a month and treat it as a flowering houseplant until we get, you know, the spring action, and then get it out into the ground as soon as you can in the spring. And you know what? It's very much going to survive. If it gets through the winter, it'll be fine in the spring and summer. Next fall, you may want to do some protection to it in the way of hilling it, adding some mulched leaves around the base of the plant, 8 or 9 inches of topsoil around the base of the plant once we get into the cold weather, because that will help if it is a tender rose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Let us know how that works out. I know, sentimental plants.
I thought you were going to say, put it in a pot and then bury the whole pot.
I was going to say that, but it's been inside for the last month.
Oh, so that, okay.
So it's got all kinds of tender new growth on it right now, right? So to suddenly just take it outside, that would be cruel. Exactly. That's where you would say, oh, that's like cruel and unusual punishment. If it had stayed outside all this time, though, like Marianne said, it was outside for about a month and then inside for about a month. If it had stayed outside for the last 2 months, I'd say definitely get it in a pot, get the pot in the ground.
Okay. There you go. All sorts of surprising stuff happening here.
I know. Well, it's just which direction you go depends. Yeah. And, you know, that's that thing about protecting our little babies, right? That's that, you know, sentimental, you know. And
maternal instinct there.
Yeah, well, and some of us have plants that we've inherited from family and we don't want to lose them.
Exactly. And why not?
Yeah.
Well, now, George in Toronto, welcome to the show. Hi, George.
Yes, hello.
Good morning.
I bought some cut flowers, and they don't seem to last. The girl gave me a white powder packet.
Uh-huh.
I told her, I said, they don't last. And she said, well, try ginger ale or try sugar or try this and try that. I'm not making a cocktail. I just want the flowers to last.
Well, but remember, cut flowers, by virtue of being cut, are in the process of dying.
No, they're only lasting a week.
Okay, do you know what kind of flowers you've been buying?
Oh, I buy the tulips and a couple of other varieties of flowers for a vase that I have.
Nice. So some flowers last longer than others. So try and pick, when you're choosing flowers to last longest, choose carnations if you can. Choose chrysanthemums. And there's another one called Alströmeria. And any of those three are long-lasting cut flowers. Number two, make sure your vase is really, really clean. A floral designer once told me that your vases, before you put cut flowers in them, should be clean enough that you would drink out of them.
Oh, because boiling water and then
Soap, water, whatever. Yeah. Just really, really clean, because that way eliminate any bacteria. Again, that will prolong the life of your cut flowers. The other thing is temperature. If you can keep your cut flowers in a cooler temperature as opposed to a hot apartment or a hot house, they will last longer. So, you know, if you've got any part of your home, even if it's right on a window ledge, that's going to be a little cooler than, say, the middle of the dining room table, you will find that your cut flowers will last longer. Those are my best suggestions. And the little packet of food that the person in the store offered you, that's worth using, because that, again, that will prolong the life of the cut flowers. And I guess the final thing is, you remember to recut the ends whenever you bring cut flowers home. We always do a recut.
They start to heal over, do they?
As soon as they're exposed to air, they healing over isn't really the correct term, but they do start to seal off the xylem and the phloem. Okay. So you just don't have that ability for liquids to enter into the stem. As liquids are going out of the top of the plant, you want liquids to be able to enter into the bottom.
Good point.
Yeah. No roots there to do it, so you've got to have the vascular system wide open, and that's why we recut.
Excellent.
All right.
Hey, thanks, George.
Good
thanks
luck
for
with
joining
that.
Us here on the Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. Out there in Woodstock. Well, there's Tom. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning. Great. How are you?
I'm great. I have three different Japanese maples.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how to prepare them for the winter. One's about a year old, and the other one is a couple of years old, and the other one's maybe three or four.
I don't typically do anything to prepare my Japanese maples. They should be showing some good color right now. They still have leaves on them, I assume?
Yes. A couple of them are quite bright red.
Yeah, it took a while for that color to show, but finally, a couple of cool nights, suddenly we've got the leaves blazing at us from our Japanese maples. Like I say, I don't typically do anything. I mean, as long as these aren't being exposed to, like, salt from the road, you know, spray from a highway nearby, anything like that, I would not worry about any kind of covering on them. If you're concerned that they're a little bit on the tender side, but of course you're in Woodstock, so you're kind of guaranteed to have lots of snow anyway. But if you're worried that they're just going to, the wind is going to be whipping around them and they're just, you know, being too much cold that way, you can do the same kind of mulching that we do at the base of some of our tender plants like our roses or our more recently planted plants. So it's mulched leaves a couple inches deep around the base of the plant, even a couple inches, 8 or 10 inches of just topsoil at the base of the plant once, you know, they're truly dormant. And that is all moved away, obviously, in the spring. But just as a way of trying to kind of temper some of the extremes that we get with our temperatures. And it can be very hard on plants to have extreme cold and extreme warm and rain and then snow and then rain and then snow and just, you know, up and down weather. So that's what sometimes we will do, that sort of extra layer of just something that insulates, holds air. You know, snow is great, but if you're where you won't have a lot of snow, soil, leaves, any of those things can be quite effective.
You wouldn't wrap them with burlap or anything?
No, because remember, the burlap's not going to do anything with a deciduous plant. The plant will drop its leaves. The plant will be asleep. There's the burlap. We use that around evergreens because of the respiration and the loss of liquid through the evergreen leaves of those plants.
Right.
But with deciduous plants, we don't worry about loss of liquid. Like I said, it would only be if you were worried about something like, say, salt spray, that you would say, I need to protect from the salt, then I would use some burlap around the plant. But otherwise, no.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very
great,
welcome.
Great, Tom. Thanks for joining us from Woodstock. Nice to have you here. Just, if I may, just steal just a little moment of time.
Of course, give
a plug to a young lady who is over with Marilyn. In fact, it's Marilyn's cousin. She's, I believe, she said around 7 years
of
age.
Yeah, very young. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And she's sight impairment is what she suffers from. In any case, she doesn't suffer. She's quite the little business lady.
Yeah, entrepreneur.
She makes she crafts bracelets for adults, beads and that sort of thing, has a little company all set up. And all of the proceeds that are sold from these crafted beads and bracelets go to Camp Ooch that helps kids with cancer. And so if you're looking for some small items to have as stocking stuffers or whatever, 200 Spadina is where Marilyn is located, her store. And you have Guapa, I guess, on the second floor there. And that's where you'll meet Lily.
And Lily is there today from 11 to 3, I think,
I believe
it?
That's right, yeah. Okay. But she sounds like a delightful little kid and very, very much business-oriented.
Quite, exactly. Yeah. Well, obviously a chip off the old block.
That's right.
Marilyn is also quite the entrepreneur.
She is quite the promoter, isn't she? You betcha. What time have we got here? Okay, we're still okay for time here, but we do have a couple of lines open.
Talk to Lorraine. Then why don't I tell you about the Vimy Oaks?
Okay.
And then when we come back, maybe we'll have some more calls, because right now you're right, the lines are open.
Okay, let me repeat the numbers, 416-360-0740, and anywhere else in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Now,
go to Lorraine.
Oh, Lorraine, yes, of course. Hi, Lorraine. How are you?
Good morning.
I just got a plant that got it from someone else, and it's a tropical plant with pink leaves, pink flowers, five petals with orange in the middle, and heavy green leaves. It's a vine, and I was wondering how to care for it. I have it in an L-shaped living room with south and east light, but not in direct sun. And so, should I be trimming it? Should I be fertilizing it? It's in flower right now.
Right. And this sounds like somebody had this plant outside their place and then didn't have a room to bring it in. And you said, I'll bring it to my house.
Right.
So that sounds like a mandevilla.
Okay.
So if you wanted...
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
So mandevilla is a beautiful tropical vine that is often used outdoors and certainly can be overwintered in the house. Now, what I would do with it, number one, you've made sure it's clean, clean, clean. There's no bugs in it whatsoever. All the spiders and sow bugs and everybody's been eradicated from the plant and you've brought it into your home. Get it into the sun, though. Get it into the sunniest spot that you've got.
Yes.
You will find that it's going to respond to being inside and all that warmth in your home by growing quite a lot of very sort of tender, soft shoots.
Yes.
So you can, for now, just wrap anything that grows, at least long, viney things, just continue to wrap it on the existing. There's probably like a little trellis or something in the pot or some stakes. And just sort of keep the whole thing as neat and tidy as you can. It's going to drop a few leaves because it's going to go through a certain amount of shock because the light levels are so different from outdoors to indoors. And it does like all that light it was in outdoors. So it's going to drop a few leaves, grow some more leaves, and it's just going to go through a little bit of a process. Only water it when it's dry. And that means really feel the soil. You want it to feel quite, not like a desert dry, but certainly on the dry side. But and then when you do water fairly thoroughly. It might be, depending on the size of the pot, you know, it might be a liter or two of water if it's a big pot. And then again, let it dry right down. So you might only be watering it once a month. You know, don't water by the calendar, water by the feel of the soil.
Okay.
Come spring, you will start to fertilize and with just a regular flowering plant fertilizer, but you will also at that point probably want to pull out your pruners and do some cutting back, because by that time it might be kind of a mess in terms of a lot of viney stems and growth all over the place. And cutting it back, making it a more compact plant, will make it a better looking plant in the spring, because you'll start all kinds of new growth from those cut points and it'll be a much bushier, thicker, more dense plant with lots of opportunities for flowers.
Okay, so do I prune it the lengthwise or on both?
Yeah, you'll do both. You'll do both. It'd be width and height, probably. Okay.
Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Have a good weekend, and thanks for keeping it right here at Zoomer Radio. We have to go to a break right now, and when we come back, maybe we want to do the oak story, oak tree story?
Yes.
Okay. And we've got lots of other callers waiting to talk to you, so we'll push right along here on this Remembrance Day. Back in just a moment.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, on this Remembrance Day, you have a very appropriate little story to tell us here now.
I do, and actually it was one of our callers who suggested that mm-hmm. I share this story, which was a really good point. So something that not maybe everybody knows, but way back in April 1917, which was just a few days after the Vimy Ridge battle had taken place, and Canadians, as you know, were mm-hmm. the ones that took back Vimy Ridge. There was a soldier walking through the barren battlefield, because at that point, everything had just been flattened. And the battlefield, of course, was pocketed with, you know, big holes, and all the trees had been knocked down, and the place was a mess, and there was, you know, dead and dying people all over the place. The soldier, though, was a young Canadian, and he had really been admiring some of the trees in Europe, some of the big old trees that he was seeing through the war. So there was all these knocked over oak trees, and he picked up a few acorns, stuck them in his pocket. He mailed the acorns home to Scarborough, which was where his family farm was. The family planted the acorns on the farm. So 100 years later, those oak trees are still living in Scarborough, and they are considered the Vimy Oaks. They grew quite beautifully. The young soldier came back from the war 2 years later, and the oaks were just little saplings at that point. So he took over the farm, continued to follow the family, what everybody had been doing, and the oaks got bigger and bigger. He renamed his own personal farm, because they severed a section 24 acres off for him, and he built his own house, and he tended the oak saplings, and he named his farm Vimy Oaks.
Wow.
So in the early 1950s, the McDonald family, so just a separate family, they're driving, doing a Sunday drive, which people remember back in the day,
yeah.
People went for Sunday drives. So they were doing a Sunday drive, and the McDonald father had been also in the war, and he saw this Vimy Oak sign. He went, whoa, what's that? So he said, let's go take a look. Stopped by, started chatting up with the young soldier, whose name was Lieutenant Miller, and just heard the whole story about how the oak trees came about and why he named his farm Vimy Oaks. And their young son was just a six-year-old named Monty, and he heard this story. And then everybody became really good friends, and Monty would go visit the farm, and he would help on the farm as a kid. And, you know, years went by. And then Monty grew up, and he had a family, and he started taking his family to the farm where and this is all still in Scarborough, uh-huh. right? Where he had, you know, spent all this time. So, you know, time went on. Of course, the farm was no longer the farm, and it became, you know, residential. But Monty, in 2004, took his own family back to, took his own family to Europe, because he was retracing his dad's war experience. When they got to Vimy Ridge, he was shocked to see there was no trees at all, much less anything like the oaks that he knew were back in Scarborough. And he knew those oaks were from acorns from the Vimy Ridge. Anyway, it's kind of neat. At that point, he got the idea. It was time to take some of those acorns back to France.
Full circle.
So, so that was what his idea. And that was in 2004, he got this idea. However, in his best case scenario, he wanted to actually start to grow some little oak trees and then take those over to France in time for the centennial. Bottom line, it's really hard to take plants in soil across borders. So a couple of hundred oaks were grown here in Ontario, but all of them have been donated to go into memorial sites across Canada and cenotaphs, et cetera. So there are Vimy Oaks across Canada now that start little trees still from acorns from the Scarborough trees. Meanwhile, hundreds of acorns were shipped over to France to a tree nursery where they were grown into young trees. And now these little trees are going to go into a 4-acre destination park that has been designated for the Vimy Ridge, at the Vimy Ridge Memorial, to create this whole new oak forest there.
Isn't that a marvelous story? story.
It hasn't happened yet. It'll be in the fall 2018 that the actual planting will take place. But still, a really neat story. And you're right, full circle.
Oh, totally full circle. That is so, so good.
Taking the oaks back to Vimy Ridge.
Terrific.
So pretty neat.
That is absolutely excellent. Okay.
All right.
Now we're taking another little break here after that story because we do have callers on the line. I want to make sure we get everybody on this morning. So let's do that little break after that marvelous story, and we'll be right back.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Charlie, let's welcome Rita in from Richmond Hill. Hi, Rita.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
I need your help again, Charlie.
No worries.
With all the rain this year, the moss has doubled, tripled, and you can't walk on the driveway. You can't walk on the rocks. I fell a couple months ago, broke my wrist in two places.
Oh.
I've gone to the stores for help. There's nothing from moss. People have told me to try and use Javix, vinegar, gasoline.
Oh, no, don't.
So I don't know if you can help me or not.
Okay, so growing, like you said, driveway, rocks, walkways.
Well, it's a slimy, slimy green moss that's growing everywhere.
I feel like I've seen, like, so when you go to the store, do you ever see anything called demosser or something to the effect of moss remover?
Well, to tell you the truth, all I went to was, like, Canadian Tire, Walmart, and places like that.
Okay.
And if you read all the stuff in there, and I have such a lot to buy, I can't pay $27 just for a little container.
But you know what it might just come down to? So obviously it's a fairly, these are shady locations that the moss is thriving so much. Is it shade caused by trees? No.
No, where the road is, there is no shade. Gets lots of sun.
Lots of sun.
But around the back where I fell, as far as I'm concerned, there's lots of sun there too.
Huh.
But funny,
it just grew crazy this year with all the rain.
Yeah, and you have tried, don't do gasoline, of course, because that'll really poison your soil. But have you tried like some really good, like vinegar as an example, or, you know, some really sort of strong soaps and, you know, stiff brush?
Oh, brush. Oh, my God. I'd never get up. It's too far.
Well, no, you get a long-handled, like a stiff broom, you know, that kind of a brush. But you know what? Leave this with me because you're not going to worry about doing anything right now. I mean, the moss isn't going to be slippery till the spring. Well, mind you, it is going to get warm potentially again. Leave this with me. I'm going to report back what I would do. I just think that there are moss grows in conditions that it's super happy with. Typically, it tends to be a moist location, it tends to be low pH, and it tends to be on the dark side. But you've said that there's lots of sun here.
Yeah.
So, sunny. Maybe
but
we can...
On one side, you might be right. You might be right. On that one side, that could be where I went down, where it could be a little shady there.
Yeah.
But there's still... I know the sun gets in there.
Right. But
I know what you're saying.
But if it's shady because of a tree overhead and, you know,
quite a bit.
Dense canopy of a tree, right off the bat, I'd say let's get an arborist in there and let's open up that canopy and let's get some more air and sun penetrating through any trees that might be causing some of that shade. But meanwhile, leave it with me. And also the other thing would be moisture, doing whatever we can to ensure that moisture continues to move through and that we don't have any wet spots where moss will happily grow. But I will report back. This will be my homework.
Soap, like good soap that you do washing dishes or good soap you do laundry with?
Well, that's what I'm going to let you know. So listen up next week. I'm going to do my homework.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, I won't be here next Saturday.
Oh, well, you can
always listen to podcast.
Podcast.
You know?
Do you have a computer?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. You can listen to the show anytime.
Okay. Then.
It's usually put up on the AM740 website by about the Wednesday after the show.
Okay, Rita?
Just go to podcast.
Good stuff. Okay, boy, they're going to keep you busy doing that homework. Oh, there's the bell, and that's for Doris in Mississauga, first-time caller. Hi, Doris.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great, how are you? Welcome.
I love that story about the oaks.
Isn't that lovely?
What a dedicated family.
I know.
Good people.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I have a maple tree,
uh-huh.
and it was losing its leaves back in September, October, dead leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Not like normal.
Yeah, they shriveled up. Yep,
it's totally dead, and my leaves are at least 5 to 6 inches wide. You know, it's a big leaf maple tree.
Right. Mm.
So is there a disease going around on maple trees? That's my question.
Yes, because of that cold spring and the high moisture levels that we were experiencing this past spring and summer, many of the maples were really, really struggling with a disease called anthracnose.
Anthracnose?
Anthracnose.
So E-N?
A-N.
A-N-D-R-A?
No, A-N-T-H.
Oh, A-N-T-H.
R-A-C, nose, N-O-S-E, anthracnose. Oh. So not something you can do anything about because obviously that was Mother Nature and all the cool temperatures and high moisture levels. The one thing you can do, though, is, and this kind of goes back even to our last caller, maples tend to become very, very dense with their all their branches crisscrossing in the center, leaves everywhere, deep, dark shade beneath, very little air and sun penetration into the canopy because of the size of the leaves and the way maples grow. Mm-hmm. So bringing in a certified arborist to open the canopy, to remove some of that inner growth, allowing sun and air to penetrate, makes for a healthier tree with healthier leaves and less disease problems. As well, potentially root feeding a plant like that, again, to just ensure that it's getting enough fertility mm-hmm. to keep it as happy and as healthy as possible. That because certainly I saw many maples suffering this year from the debilitations around the cold, wet spring. If it's an important maple to you and it's been there for a long, long time and it adds huge value to your home, it is often totally worth calling certified arborist to come in and make recommendations on how to keep it as
and that will not
healthy
cost you anything
as you can.
Initial
no,
call, will it?
No. Not at all. Getting somebody onto the property will not be at any expense, but of course the recommendations will be at an expense. But honestly, it's sometimes one of the best ways to spend some money to save trees. Number one, because we love them, but number two, because they add
property
huge value.
Value
to your mm-hmm. property. All right.
Thank you, Doris.
Thanks, Doris.
Okay. I think we have time for one more caller.
If it's a really fast one.
That would be Al in Kitchener. Good morning, Al.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning, Charlie. I've got a potted plant, Boston fern.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a Boston fern, but it was a beautiful green fern.
Mm-hmm.
And I left it outside last week. Didn't bring it in. I wasn't quite sure if it was a perennial or an annual.
Uh-huh.
And it's turned now sort of brownish, I guess brownish purple.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very pliable. And then there's some really nice green shoots that come out. They're about a foot long already.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not too sure if it's what I should do with it.
Was it was in a pot this whole time?
Yes.
And I don't think it's a Boston fern. If it was a Boston fern, it would have turned brown overnight with the cold temperatures and just all the leaves would have fallen off. Probably what it is a Kimberley fern. So if you want to Google Kimberley fern, you'll be able to identify whether that's what you've got. If it is a Kimberley fern, it is a tropical. It does need to be kept frost-free in order to survive the winter. However, it's good down to close to zero. So yeah, hard to know exactly. If it's a hardy fern, get it in the ground. If it's a Kimberley fern, get it in the house. So Google Kimberley fern and see, or take a photograph and send it to me and I can identify it for you. But either way, it's not a Boston fern because it would be dead. Okay.
All righty. Thank you. We're just about fresh out of time.
Gotta go.
I want to thank Neil from Oakville who called in with the answer to our question. What crop do they grow there in Tilsonburg now? Ginseng.
Yes,
is
it is.
How
I
about
thought
that?
I couldn't remember, but it is ginseng.
Thanks, Neil.
Yes. Appreciate the information.
Exactly.
So you're back for a while this afternoon?
Yes, I'll be here at 1:30.
All right, and I'm off to the ballet tonight.
Are you?
Yes,
oh.
Indeed. You know me, cultured person that I am.
I can just picture you grand jeté-ing across the lobby floor.
Pas de deux. Off we go. Thanks, Frank. Thank you, Sebastian. Couldn't do it without all your help and all our great callers. Take care. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.